This morning's sermon is called, We Have Found the Messiah, from the book of John, chapter 1, verse 35 through 42. As we continue to go through the Gospel of John, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. The rest of this chapter is about the first disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ, who would become apostles. In this morning's passage and next Sunday's passage, we're going to find out what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Just a quick recap before we go through this morning's passage, seeing we missed a couple Sundays. This may go on for 3 hours today because of that. Just kidding. But when the Apostle John started out with this gospel, he wrote, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. Right away, the Apostle John declares that Jesus is God. He is the second person in the triune Godhead. He identifies Jesus as the Word. The Word is none other than Jesus Christ. John wants to make sure that you and I fully understand this declaration. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John is declaring that Jesus already existed before creation, that He's not a created person. He always was. He is eternal, everlasting to everlasting. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus Christ. John's gospel message to us is that the eternal God Himself has become flesh and has lived among us. The Creator has become part of His creation. And why? That He may save sinners from their sin, death, judgment, and eternal hell. The main purpose of John writing this gospel is to convince his readers that Jesus is the Messiah. He's the Son of the living God, God in the flesh. And by believing in Him, you may have eternal life. It's the main purpose of John writing this gospel. I'll go ahead and I'll read this passage and then discuss it. Verse 35. Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and, seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, when translated, "teacher," "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was around about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now, when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated a stone. Amen. We have found the Messiah. Come and see. Wouldn't you just love to have been there? Wouldn't you just love to have been there? And your brother came and said, "We found the Messiah. Come and see." And there was Jesus, God in the flesh, among His people. Let's take a look at verses 35 and 36. The Apostle John wrote, again, the next day. This would be the third day. John is breaking down each day of Jesus' ministry, his first 7 days, as he writes about Jesus' ministry, right? The Apostle John is 90 years old. He's in his 90s. Jesus had already come and gone 60 years ago. And John remembers it like it was yesterday. He remembers it like it was yesterday. Let's continue. It says, John, which is John the Baptist, stood with two of his disciples and looking at Jesus as he walked, John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." As John the Baptist was standing with his two disciples, he saw Jesus and he shouted, "Behold, the Lamb of God." John the Baptist was probably in awe at seeing him. He says, "Behold," which means look, the Lamb of God, the Messiah, the coming one, the anointed one, the Christ. So who are these two disciples in our passage that were disciples of John the Baptist? Well, we know one of them is Andrew from verse 40, Peter's brother. The other disciple is none other than the Apostle John, because he never mentions himself by name in his gospel. So whenever you see the John, he's talking about John the Baptist. He never writes John as himself. It was him and Andrew. Andrew and the Apostle John were the first two disciples of Jesus Christ. They were disciples of John the Baptist until John the Baptist told his disciples to follow him, the Lamb of God, none other than Jesus Christ, and stay with him. He pointed them to Jesus. Let's take a look at verse 37 and 38. So the two disciples, which we know are Andrew and John, the Apostle John, John A, we'll call him John A, right? He heard John the Baptist, too many Johns, speak, right? And they follow Jesus. Then Jesus turned, and seeing them following, Jesus said to them, this is very important. Look what Jesus asked them. What do you seek? They said to Jesus, "Rabbi," which is to say, when translated, "teacher, where are you staying?" Notice Andrew and John A heard Jesus' voice. They responded and they followed Jesus, just like you and me. We heard God's voice, we responded, and we have been following after Jesus Christ since. Amen? We've been following, right? We heard the word of God, right? We saw the works of Jesus Christ, and we received the Holy Spirit. That's how one becomes saved. That's how one becomes saved. You heard the gospel, you believed it, you trusted in Christ, and you were sealed by the Holy Spirit. That's Ephesians 1:13. That's how a person becomes saved. And now you live by faith in Christ. Whenever it was when you turned to the Lord with all your heart, whenever day that was, John remembers it to a T. He even mentions the hour. Whenever it was that you turned to the Lord yourself and surrendered your life and truly believed in Jesus Christ, you believed in his word, you believed in his works on the cross, the gospel, and you placed all your faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone, it was Jesus' ultimate desire for you to become a disciple of his for life. For life. That was his desire for you when you surrendered your life to Christ, that you would become a disciple of his. You guys have heard me say this before, that being a Christian is a lifelong calling. It is a lifelong commitment to Christ. So what does it mean to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ, a true follower of Jesus Christ? Has anybody ever asked you that? Maybe when you're sharing your faith? Has anyone ever asked you, what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus Christ or a disciple of Jesus Christ? Anyone ever ask you that? Here's the correct answer. Jesus Christ is my life. I am His, He is mine, He lives in me, I live in Him, I abide in Him, He abides in me. That's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be a Christian. Jesus is my life. I live for Him. Right, Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, He said, if you abide in my word, you are indeed my disciple. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. What is Jesus, our Lord, saying? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know what He's talking about? You'll be set free from your sin, being in the bondage of your sin. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. He said, those who that do that are my disciples indeed. You are committed to me and my word. Jesus also said, whoever does not take up his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Luke 14, 27. You know, every born-again Christian should feel like what is written in the book of Galatians, chapter 2, verse 20. You should feel this way as a born-again Christian, what it says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's how every born-again Christian should feel. I've been crucified with Christ. Andrew and John heard Jesus. They followed Him. And then it says that Jesus turned, and seeing Andrew and John following Him, look at this. Jesus said to them, what do you seek? These are Jesus' first recorded words in the Gospel of John, right here. What do you seek? What a great question. What do you seek? Jesus was saying to them, what do you want from me? Why are you guys looking for me? If Jesus showed up at your house today, this afternoon, and He asked you, what do you seek? What do you want from me? What would you say? Just think about that for a minute. If Jesus showed up at your house and says, what do you seek? Would you say success, money, maybe a new car, maybe a new home, a husband, a wife? What would you say to Jesus? There's a lot that we might want, but what a true disciple of Jesus Christ wants is God. I want you, Lord. I want to know you more, Lord. I want you, Lord. I want to follow you, Lord, and please you in everything I do. I want to do what's right in your sight, Lord. I want you. You know what? God wants to be wanted. God values a relationship based on choice. What does that mean? He wants you to want Him, right? He wants to be first in your life. He wants you to stay focused on Him. He wants you to keep your eyes upon Him. After Jesus asked Andrew and John, He asked them, what do you seek? They replied, Rabbi, where are you staying? You know what they're talking about? In other words, Lord, wherever you are staying, that's where we want to go. We want to go with you, Lord. Right? John the Baptist told his two disciples, follow Jesus and stay with Him. Great advice. This is what every Christian should tell other people, follow Jesus and stay with Him. Amen? Follow Jesus. Great advice, great words to give others. Follow Jesus and stay with Him. He is the way, He is the truth, He is the life, He is the way to salvation, He is the way to eternal life, He is the only door that leads to heaven, He's the only gate that leads to heaven. Follow him and stay with him. Let's take a look at verse 39 and 40. So after they asked Jesus, where are you staying? Here's Jesus' response. Look at this. Jesus said, come and see. Come on. They came and saw where Jesus was staying. And look at this. They remained with him. That day, and John, look at John. He writes, now it was about the 10th hour. Verse 40, one of the two who heard John the Baptist speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. They asked Jesus, where are you staying? And Jesus responds, come and see. Come on, follow me. They never hesitated. They didn't say, well, how far is this, Lord? How far do we got to walk? Right? When are we going to eat? How about we meet up tomorrow at 2 o'clock? Is that okay? Maybe even next week, Lord. I have so many things to do today, Lord. No, that's not at all what they did. They went. They went. They never hesitated. They heard God's voice and they responded. They heard God's voice and they did not harden their heart. They followed him and it says they remained with him. They went. These men heard, what do you seek? What do you want? What do you want from me? And they said, we want you, Lord. That's what we want. We want to go with you, Lord. We want to see where you live. We want to see where you're staying. We want to know more about you, Lord. And Jesus said, come on. Come with me. And they went and they remained with him, the scripture says. Jesus said, come on, follow me. And they immediately responded. You know, Jesus is constantly inviting people to him throughout all the scriptures. Invitation after invitation after invitation, right? We know Jesus invites all sinners to follow him into his kingdom where there's forgiveness of sin, blessing, peace, joy, and eternal life. And I think the biggest invitation from the Lord in the scriptures is in Matthew 11. If you brought your Bible with you, I want you to share this with you. If you brought your Bible with you, please turn to Matthew chapter 11. I think this is the greatest invitation that Jesus has offered the world right here. And I know, and you guys know this verse very well, this passage. This is the greatest invitation a person could ever get. Matthew chapter 11. I'll let you guys get there. We're going to read 28 through 30. I know some of you have memorized this verse. Thanks be to God. Matthew 11, verse 28 and 30. Listen to what Jesus says, the greatest invitation in the world for every person. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let me break this down for you. Jesus said, come to me, which means come to me and I will give you life. All you who labor, you know what Jesus is talking about? All you who are weary. All you who are weary. And he says, and are heavy laden, which means heavily burdened by your sin. And I will give you rest. I will give you true rest, which is salvation in Christ. That's what true rest is. Salvation in Christ, right? He says, take my yoke upon you. You know what that means? Be joined to me. Do you say, be joined to me? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. You know what he's talking about? Follow me as my disciple. For I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Again, true rest, salvation in Christ. For my yoke is easy. He's saying, my yoke is easy to bear. I've never asked you to do something I know you can't handle. I will only expect what I know you can do. My yoke is easy to bear. And my burden is light. What an amazing invitation. Amazing invitation to the world. Come to me, and I'll give you eternal life. Jesus invited Andrew and John, as we see, and they stayed with Jesus, and they remained with him, as the scriptures say. They followed Jesus for the rest of their life. You know what that is? You know what that means? They surrendered their life to Christ. I'm all in, Lord. I'm all in. I don't have one foot in with the world and one foot in with you, Lord. No. I'm all in with you, Lord. To the end. This is what Andrew and Peter did as the first two disciples of Jesus Christ. I'm all in, Lord. Even during the bad times, I'm with you. Glory to God. I'm still with you, Lord. This is what it means to be disciples. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. It's a lifelong commitment. It's a lifelong calling. Listen, not many people can do it. Not many people can do it, but those who do will inherit the kingdom of God. Amen? Those who can will inherit the kingdom of God. You know, being a true Christian isn't easy. Some of you have probably already experienced this in the world. It's not easy being a true Christian. You may get made fun of. You may lose some friends. You may lose some family members. Has that ever happened to any of you guys? They may have thought you lost your mind. Anybody ever thought that about you? Sean's lost his mind, man. He is all about Jesus Christ. This isn't the same Sean that we grew up with in high school. Right? Roughing up kids in the parking lot, the bullies. Right? You know why? Because I've been made new. God's changed me from the inside out, just like he changed you. Not the same. And that's why people sometimes back off from you. Because you can be convicting to them. It's not easy being a true Christian. But it's worth it. Amen? It's worth it. If Jesus Christ has spoken into your heart and you have become a follower of Jesus Christ, don't worry about what anybody thinks of you. You worry about Jesus Christ, what he thinks about you. Because you owe him your life. If you are a true Christian, you owe him your life. He died for you. Should have been you and I on the cross. He said, step aside. I'm going across for you. And you're going to live for me. And we live for Christ. Amen? It's all worth it, and it's all going to be worth it. The Apostle John's first meeting with Jesus Christ was so life-changing. Did you notice? He remembered the time. Now, you got to remember, Jesus is already come and gone 60 years prior to this. As John is in his 90s, right? You probably forgetful, right? When you get your 90s, right, you start, some of you are in your 60s. You start forgetting things, right? It's happening to Michelle and I here and there. We're in our 50s. He's in his 90s. And he's writing five books, the last five books of the Bible, right? This gospel, John 1, 2, and 3, and the book of Revelation. He remembers the time, it was so life-changing, when he surrendered his life to Christ. He remembers the exact day that he surrendered his life to Christ. His life changed from there on. He said the 10th hour. Now in Hebrew, that would have been 4 p.m. Could have been in Roman time. We don't know. The Romans were there. It could have been 10 a.m. But all I do know is John knows. He says the 10th hour. He knows exactly what day it was and what time it was when he surrendered his life to Christ. Maybe some of you do. I remember that day I gave my life to Christ. Let's take a look at our last two verses. Verses 41 and 42. He, Andrew, first found his brother, Simon, and said, "We found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. And he, Andrew, brought Peter to Jesus. Now, when Jesus looked at Peter, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated a stone. Andrew was so convinced, he was so convicted of Jesus Christ, he had a conviction of Jesus Christ, that he went and found his brother Peter and said, "We found the Messiah. Come on. We found the anointed one, the coming one, the Christ, the Son of God. Come on." You know what? This is how the kingdom of God advances. One bringing another. Amen? This is how the kingdom of God advances. One bringing another. Right? What's the scripture say? "I believed, therefore I spoke." Right? Psalm 116. "I believed, therefore I spoke." Notice Andrew went and found his brother. "Hey, we found the Messiah. Come on." Right? Just like you. "I know the way to heaven. I know the way to eternal life. Come on. We got to talk." And Andrew brought Peter to Jesus. And look at this. And when Jesus looked at Peter, look what he said. "You are Simon, the son of Jonah." Now, Peter must have been like, "How did you know? We just met. This has got to be God. Only God would know." The term Cephas means rock in Aramaic, which is translated Peter in Greek. But you notice that Jesus knew exactly who Peter was before Peter met him, and Jesus knew who Peter would become. He knew exactly who Andrew and John were. He knew exactly who Peter was, and he knows exactly who you and me are. He knows everything. He knows everything about you and me. He knows everything we do. He knows everything we say. He knows how much we love him. He knows how much time we spend with him. He knows everything. As a matter of fact, he knows more about you and me than we know about ourselves. He knows more about you than you know about you. Jesus was telling Peter, "You are the rock in which I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." If we continue to do God's will here at First Baptist Church, continue to let the Holy Spirit lead us, continue to bring glory to Jesus Christ, the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for speaking to us this morning through your word. Oh, Lord, I hope these words of yours have sit heavy on the hearts here this morning, Lord. What it means to be a true disciple, fully committed, a lifelong calling that is so worth it. We thank you for this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.